Okay, now, I'm going to try to bring a part two of Psalm 45. Last time we studied in Psalm 45, verse 1 down through verse 8, talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this evening, from verse 9 down through verse 17. And I'm entitling the message, it says twice in verse 9 and again in verse 13, the King's Daughter. The King's Daughter. Wouldn't it be special to be the King's daughter or the King's son? That would be special. It'd be an honor, wouldn't it? It would be a privilege, wouldn't it? That is true of every son of God. We are His family. He bought us. He married us. He chose us. Now, last week, two weeks ago, we talked about the conquering king, the Lord Jesus Christ, who defeated all of his enemies. As it says in verse 1 down to verse 8, he went forth conquering and to conquer. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in verses 9 down through verse 17, we see the description of his church. His church. You know what the word church actually means? And we use that word really in the wrong sense, where we say, what time is church service, or it's time to go to church. The word means called out. Called out. His people have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. He calls them the called of God, the jewels of heaven, His church. They're called His bride. In the Revelation, they're known as the Lamb's wife. Wouldn't it be something to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ? All of His people are. And He made us His wife, His chosen, His bride, by His grace. It was His choice, not ours. Remember, our Lord said, you didn't choose me, but I've chosen you. God's people belong to Him by His choice, by His grace, by His purpose. They are adopted into His royal family, bought with His precious blood, redeemed by His glorious power. Therefore, Paul says, you are no longer your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He owns His church. He loved the church and gave Himself for it. He bought us with His own blood. And He calls His own people the King's daughters. He calls them honorable women. He calls them the queen in the gold of Ophir. He calls them virgins. He calls them princess. What a blessing, therefore, to be chosen of God and to be part of His royal family, adopted by His sovereign love and called out of darkness into His marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises of Him who called us. We praise Him who had called us. He translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, what a privilege we have to be called sons of God. Let us never take it lightly. Now, look at verse 9. The king's daughters were among the honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in the gold of Ophir. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted to heaven and seated at the right hand of God. You know who else is seated upon the throne at the right hand of God? Those who were in the Lord Jesus Christ. King daughters were among the honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold. The gold of Ophir. Every believer, spiritually speaking, is a daughter or a son of God by His sovereign saving grace. We are chosen children given to the Lord Jesus Christ in that eternal covenant. Remember, the Lord said, all that the Father hath given to me, They will come to me, and I will never cast them out, and they shall never leave me. When John writes about the love of God, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God." What a privilege. What an honor to be of His household, to be called by His sovereign purpose and grace. The church is also described as the queen at His right hand. The church shares His glory, shares His honor, happiness, and holiness. He presents us to Himself. You remember, He says over here, don't turn, let me just read it to you. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. That's particular redemption, is it not? Definite atonement, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church. Not having one spot, not having one wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy, and it is, and without one blemish. That's the way He describes us, and that's the way we really are. As He is, so are we in this world. Now, what a privilege. I've often said to you over the years, what's true of the head is true of the body. Christ is our head. And where the head is, that's where the body is it not? You don't go anywhere. Your body doesn't go anywhere without your head. Wherever your head goes, man, that's where your body goes. And that's true of the Lord Jesus Christ, too. He is the head of His body, and where He is, we are. And what's true of Him is true of us. The Lord Jesus Christ is called our forerunner, who has entered into God's presence for us and occupies the throne of God, and we in Him as our substitute, as our representative. We're seated in the heavenlies right now. Did you know that? Don't turn, let me just read this to you. We're seated in the heavenlies, every believer. He's raised us up. He's quickened us from the dead, raised us up, and made us to sit together in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. And preacher, you're not in glory yet, are you? My body's not, but I am in my Lord as He represents me. We were crucified with Him, we were risen with Him, and we're seated together in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Isn't that good news? He sets her, that is the king, in a place of dignity at His right hand and clothes her with the best of the best. Where it says down there in verse 9, the gold of Ophir. I looked that up, and you know what it means? That gold of Ophir is the best gold. It is the purest gold. You look at it through Scripture, and whenever it talks about the finest and best gold, it always talks about the gold of Ophir. You see, everything God gives us is the best. It's excellent. It is superior. The Lord gives nothing of secondary value, but only the best. Therefore, the believer is divinely arrayed in royal garments that He has provided for us. He clothed us with a robe of righteousness and with the garments of salvation. He's imputed unto us an absolute perfect righteousness, and He's even imparted unto us a divine nature that we might love and believe Him. Happy and blessed are those who are found in Him. They're blessed. They're happy. Unhappy are those that persecute the bride of Christ, His church. For our righteous husband will speedily avenge His own elect, which cry unto Him day and night. Remember when the Lord arrested Saul of Tarsus, when Saul of Tarsus had special permission to leave Judea and go into Damascus to arrest those who were calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus, And remember when the Lord came to him and arrested him, what he said to him? Why are you persecuting me? Oh, I'm persecuting those who believe on you. You persecute them, you persecute me. So that's, again, teaching that union. And Christ is our husband. Isaiah talks about that. He said, for thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. The husband always defends the wife. That is true, so much exactly so, of the Lord Jesus Christ as he defends. He so much loves his own people that he died to save them. Did any of you see that on the news the other night where a man was in the Bahamas somewhere, I think it was. He was with his wife and his children, and someone knocked on his motel room door and posed as a doorman or something, or someone who worked in that facility, and he gained access into the room and took out a knife and proceeded to rob the family. And the husband defended himself and his family and killed that man. We're so screwed up in our justice among men that they charged that man with murder. Defending his family. The guy attacks him with a knife and defends himself and kills the thief and robber, and they charge him with murder. That's so screwed up, is it? Pardon my slang. But that's, what else can you say about it? That's messed up justice. God's justice is not like that. His justice is holy, perfect, and right. But he gave himself for our sin and put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, look at verse 10. Hearken, therefore, O daughter. You are the king's daughter. The king's daughter has an ear for the king's word. The king speaks with a command that the daughter, the king doesn't speak in suggestions. The king speaks with a command, and that's true of God, our king. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear, and forget your own people and your father's house. Like Ruth said to Naomi, wherever you go, she's going to forget her Moabite family. Wherever you go, you going back to Judah, that's where I'm going. Wherever you go, that's where I'm going. Your God is my God, remember? So, incline and listen. Every precept or word spoken by our king is most worthy of our attention. He says unto us, hearken, consider, and incline thine ear. Our whole being should be ready and willing to receive his word. Don't you wish you could study and meditate and hear the word as we ought to? This flesh is such a hindrance to our spiritual being. But we do receive the word of God as the word of God, not the word of Paul or Peter or John, but as it is in truth the word of God. You receive and believe the word, it'll be a blessing to you. It'll be a blessing to you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. We're told to be swift to hear, slow to speak. We're told to desire the sincere milk of the word. This is the king's commandment. He said, my sheep, they do hear my voice. I know them. I give unto them eternal life, and they follow me all the days of their life. Now, where he says, forget also thine own people. The Lord is not teaching us here to turn our back on our fleshly family. Remember, the Lord's a family man. He told that wild Gadarene, go home to your family and tell how great things the Lord has done for us. But what he's talking about here is we're married to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Therefore, we love him so much, it's like we have forgotten our family. We're in so love, we're in so in love with him and enamored with him, it as though we have forgotten and forsaken our family. And when a young bride, by way of illustration, is married to that husband and they're united in marriage, she now has all her devotion and attention to her husband, to her head, her home, and so much so that it would seem she has forsaken her family. Believers are so taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Mahan preached a very good sermon back in 1982 from Psalm 45, and his text was verse 2, "Grace is poured into thy lips." But he started his message this way, and I've listened to this message before, but it kind of, go and listen to it sometime. Psalm 45 from 1982. But he started the message this way. He said, "I have a confession to make." He said, "I'm going to confess this before this congregation. I'm going to confess this before the city of Ashland, before my family, my wife. I have a confession to make." And I'm thinking to myself, what are you going to say? But his text was this here. He said, "I'm in love with the Lord Jesus Christ." That's pretty good. That's a pretty good way to start a statement or start a message, is it not? Look at verse 11. "So shall thy king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord. Worship thou him." Now it goes back to what we read over here in Ephesians chapter 5. "No man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. Now, by nature, do we have any beauty? All of our natural righteousness, he says, is filthy rags in his sight. But he has made us beautiful. Through his comeliness, we are made beautiful. "So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty." You see, he is the Lord, our righteousness. And he desires that which he has given unto us. "For he is thy Lord, worship thou him." The Lord Jesus loves and delights in his church. He sees beauty in her, the beauty which he has graciously bestowed upon her. Remember from our study in the Song of Solomon where it says, "Thou art fair, my love, there's no spot in thee." We read over here in Ephesians 5 that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's beauty, is it not? In his sight. "But that it should be holy and without a blemish, not one mark. Thou, Lord, shouldest count iniquities, who shall stand?" But there is forgiveness with him. We are accepted in the Beloved. "Thou art fair, my love, my dove, my undefiled. There's no spot in thee." No spot in thee. He presents us unto the Father, holy and unblameable in his sight. And he does so, able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. And he does so with exceeding joy. He says to the Father, "Boy, look at my beautiful bride." Isn't that what the bridegroom says to his dad? "Man, here comes the bride. Woo-wee. Look at her, Dad. She's my bride." He's taken up with the bride. He is thy Lord. And because he is thy Lord, we worship him. Our Savior is our sovereign, our Lord, our King and ruler. We delight in him, we bow unto him because we love him. We reverence his name. We delight to worship him. We delight to serve him, leaving all others and cleaving only unto the Lord Jesus Christ, our husband and our head. He makes us willing in the day of his power. Look at verse 12. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy, it says favor there, but a better word, the marginal reference, shall entreat thy face, thy person. Our Lord said, look unto me and be ye saved. The daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. The daughter of Tyre are those who are not Jewish by birth. They are the Gentile nation, but God has an elect out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation under heaven. The daughter of Tyre, the Lord has an elect among the heathen Gentile nation that shall be called out and will give themselves unto the Lord in support of the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord called out that there in the coast of Tyre, remember that woman of Canaan who had the daughter that was grievously vexed, and she sought mercy of the Lord. And the disciples said, go away. He don't have time for you. And she kept on crying. And the Lord said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she kept on crying. Lord, have mercy upon me. And the Lord, he said, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. She said, Lord, I'm your dog. Will you feed me? And he did. He did. He gave her mercy, showed her mercy. The woman of Canaan was of the daughters of Tyre. The Lord had mercy upon her. The woman at the well of Samaria was another Gentile mixed breed dog. The Lord said, I must needs go through Samaria because of that woman was one of God's elect. And then Lydia was of the city of Thyatira. Remember? God opened her heart through the preaching of the gospel. And that whole church of Philippi, talking about the day of small things, that whole church of Philippi started with one woman, a businesswoman that was there on a business trip, who just bumped into the gospel, wasn't by accident, but by purpose. And then Paul later was put in jail in the same city, and there was a jailer there who heard the gospel. God saved both of them and started, that ministry started there in Philippi out of that ministry. Look at verse 13. The king's daughter is all glorious within. The true beauty of every believer is not outward beauty. She's glorious within. You see that? Christ in you is the hope of glory. All glorious within. Her clothing, like the gold of Ophir, is wrought of gold. Wrought of gold. Only the best is reserved for every believer. The best material, the best workmanship. He's worked on us. God, who has begun a good work in you, will finish it. We are his workmanship, created in the Lord Jesus Christ. How carefully and painfully did our Lord work out our salvation, our redemption, with the precious blood that flowed from his body, and he's given us a glorious robe of salvation that he freely gives unto us. Her clothing is the best. Christ is the Lord, our righteousness. My personal righteousness before God is not one that's wrought of my hand. It's wrought of his hand that's freely imputed unto his people. Her clothing is wrought of gold, precious, precious material. Verse 14, she shall be brought unto the king in the raiment of needlework. The virgin, her companion that follow her, shall be brought. Notice, they're brought unto the king. They're brought unto thee. Our Lord said, remember, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw them, bring them. Because of our sin, because of our deadness, we must be made quickened alive by God and brought to the King. He's the captain of our salvation, who's bringing many sons into glory. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered once for our sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. She shall be brought. And she comes willingly in the day of His power. The day of His power. That's Psalm 110. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of youth. You see, He made Himself unto us altogether lovely, and we must have Him. God's people are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're brought unto Him in a raiment fashioned by His hand. It's a needlework. Now, I don't know a whole lot about sewing. Some of you ladies do. But a needlework is a very precise work, is it not? A needlework is something that you designed and planned and purposed and sewed together with great detail. And that's the very righteousness we have before God, is Christ, this raiment of a needlework. His obedience, His faithfulness unto death, the shedding of His blood. Now look at verse 15. When the prodigal came back home, you remember what the father said? Bring the best robe and put it on him. Slay the fatted calf. Let us make merry. Let us be glad. Verse 15. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Now, you don't get into the king's palace just by waltzing up there and knocking on the door and demanding, upon the energy of your name and upon the energy of your flesh, go over there to Windsor Castle sometime and try to gain entrance into the queen's palace upon your name. Well, who are you? My name is Tom. Where are you from? Kentucky. I wouldn't get past the guard, would I? No. But look here. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought, and they shall enter into the king's palace. He brings us right into the very presence of God. Brought by His grace, they shall enter into glory. What a joy in being brought unto the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy to enter into everlasting glory of the celestial city, whose builder and maker is God, and there abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. So shall we ever be with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought, and they shall enter into the king's palace, into the throne room, and sit down upon the throne in Christ. Verse 16, instead of thy father shall be thy children. The Lord saved a people out of Abraham's race, out of Isaac's race, out of Jacob's race, out of Judah's race, out of David's race, generation after generation. The Lord has not left Himself without a witness. That's what He's saying there in verse 16. Whom thou mayest make princes. Oh, we're not only the king's daughters, but He's made us royalty. We're princes in all the earth. You remember Revelation 5? Unto him who, Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6, unto him who loved us, washed us from our sin in his own blood, has made us kings and priests unto our God. And we shall glory in him. He makes sinners into princes, and the servants of Christ are made kings and priests unto our God. Verse 17, I'll make thy name to be remembered in all generations. How many generations of sinners have died? Another generation come along and they've died. Another generation, his name has always been remembered among men. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. You remember the book of Psalms closes with that statement all the way through the book of Psalms. Remember, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. It starts here, but it never has an end. That's what eternity is all about. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, and blessing, both now and forever.